nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today we're going to take a little blast of the past on this topic. We're going to be talking a lot on relationships and the, kind of the heart of the matter in regards to any kind of ministry, whether you're in student ministry or online ministry. It centers around relationships. And what made me think of this is the a blog post I read from my friend Ben Kearns recently, and he talked about virginity and that. Again, that was a nice little hook for him, but it really goes beyond just virginity. And as I read it, I was like, this really goes back to all about relationships. And I know it's not very digital, and I know it's not very online, but it is really important. If you're doing ministry, it really is about relationships first and foremost. So I brought in Ben Kearns, and he's on location at a different place, and we'll get into that in an interview. But we talk about relationships and what it means to be relational in this day and age, especially in regards to student ministry, but you can apply it into any context you're in. So I'm really excited about this interview. It's really great to have Ben on. We haven't had Ben on in a while. So let's get into the interview right now with Ben Kearns as we talk about the heart of the matter and we talk about relationships. With me right now is the one and the only Ben Kearns. Ben, we know you're not in California right now, but where in the world is Ben Kearns today?
So today I am in St. Paul, Minnesota, trying to see how people in the center of the country do church. And it's a little different from the East Coast and West Coast version of Christianity, that is for sure.
You know, it's really funny. I don't know if I've talked to you about this before, but back when I worked with Young Life, we were always amazed, because I was always on the East Coast, we were always amazed how people on the West Coast or even in Central America, the central part of America, did Young Life differently than the way we did Young Life. So you actually find that things are a little bit different in the Midwest than they are in California?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's got to be different for you, too. Everybody here goes to church, has to go to church, wants to go to church. There's Christian radio, Christian music. And then the people who don't do all that are all pissed about it all for some reason. and I couldn't find one Christian out of 100 if I walked into a Chipotle.
Dude, that's awesome. Do they have Chick-fil-A's out there? Do you know?
Maybe. I'm sure they must. I don't know.
They have to.
Yeah. Are there Chick-fil-A's where you are?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's tons of Chick-fil-A's now. So
there's one Chick-fil-A in my county where I live, and they do it's the worst Chick-fil-A in the whole country.
What?
Because people in our county boycott it because they hate the gays.
Oh gosh, really? Okay, that makes sense then.
You know, that's where I live. So to be in Minnesota where everyone is so kind and nice and loves Jesus, I'm just like, it's like fish in a barrel out here. I love it.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, tell everybody why you're out in Minnesota. Like, what are you doing, and what is it a part of the bigger picture of what you're up to these days?
So I have a little bit of survivor's guilt because I actually get to be on a sabbatical. I'm on a 12-week sabbatical from my day job, being a pastor at a church. And I get a little space and time for some spiritual development and professional development, and to kind of help my family remember that I'm their dad and husband and love them.
Dude, though, you are living the dream right now. I've dreamt about a sabbatical, but in the 21 years of ministry that I've been doing, I've never once had, well, maybe I've had a few weeks, but nothing remotely close to 12 weeks. That's awesome.
I know. I can't believe you made me say it out loud, because it feels kind of douchey to say it out loud. So it's a huge investment that our church is making in me, and so I want to do right by them, you know?
Well, no, you're exactly right, and you and I have talked offline on this before, and I think it's fantastic that they're giving you this opportunity and that you're really not just using it to sleep in and just, you know, do whatever the heck you want to do. You're actually really being intentional about it.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to make it through some Netflix series,
though.
Oh,
gosh. Which, by the way, I would strongly recommend Ozark. Now, people may ban me now from listening. They may not want to listen to my podcast anymore because I like the show Ozark. But Ozark, I would strongly recommend that to you.
I've heard that Ozark's great. Even the gratuitous sex is all part of the story.
Gosh, it's not like that. No, I don't think there's any nudity. Well, there might be a little nudity. But I'm just saying, I love Jason Bateman in this role because he's funny, but it's a dark thing. You know, it's very dark.
Good. So, well, I will check it out for sure.
Yeah, check it out. Ever since The Americans went off the air, I've got to look for new shows, and I like Ozark, so we'll see. So, all right, dude, well, this is not the reason why I have you on the podcast today. I have you on because you actually wrote a blog post the other day called "Does Virginity Matter Anymore?" And the moment I saw that, I was like, I have to read this blog post. So for anybody who's not read it yet, tell people about what this blog post is about.
It's about virginity. and I read this book a little bit ago, and the author's critique of her kind of white suburban church experience was the way she reflected back on it was the church only cared that she stayed a virgin until she was married. Like, that's how she summed up her youth ministry experience.
Yep.
And based on the tone of her book, I'm assuming she didn't because she's pretty pissed at the church about it. But it got me thinking, and I thought it was an interesting critique. And I have a millennial friend of mine who read the book with me and was like, dude, she's so right. And he was all, like, self-righteous about how it's so lame that the church cares so much about sex and sexuality. And for some reason, that critique just didn't sit right with me. I felt like it was an unfair critique of the church that we're trying to help kids stay virgins until they're married, even though apparently no one does anymore or ever did. But at least a noble trajectory to aim toward. I felt like it was an unfair critique. But I had to do a little bit of thinking and reflecting to kind of figure out what that was. And so my blog post kind of unpacks why virginity actually matters, even though it's a lost cause in student ministry.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I have talked about this before, but I feel like I almost expect, because I grew up in this culture where I felt like virginity mattered. And again, I stayed a virgin until I was married. I was in there, and I was all in, not because that was the only thing and the reason why, you know, to be a Christian or anything like that. But actually, I love this thing that you said here on your blog post. You said, it's like calculus. In order to understand calculus, you need to know and understand remedial math, algebra, geometry, and trigonometry. That virginity is an indicator of mature Christian culture. Like, unpack that a little bit for me. Like, what do you mean about that?
Well, at its worst, I think Christians perceive virginity as the ultimate in behavior modification.
Yes.
So don't do it.
Yes.
And if you're a good Christian, you wait.
Yep.
But the reasoning is not because losing your virginity is bad. Your sexuality and having control of your sexuality are indicators of deeper Christian virtues.
Yeah.
So the virtue of temperance and selflessness and humility and justice, like, virginity is just an indicator that those things are fully in bloom. And if you're just like a wild animal having sex with whatever you want because you want to, and you don't temper that, then you're not really living the mature Christian life. And virginity just is a hot button issue because everyone loves talking about sex, but it could be any vice. And the Christian virtues are so looked down on now. There's no esteem for living a virtuous life. Everything is about instant gratification. And I think our culture and our kids are paying the price. And one of the things I mentioned was, you know, that, like, in our generation, everyone knew what the rules were, and then they went crazy and wild, and they enjoyed the rebellion, but then they knew how to come back and be mature and figure it out. And we would think taking all the rules off would make our kids more free and more wild, but really what it's done is caused more anxiety and more depression and more, you know, lostness. And so I think the fruit of a broader sexuality is actually proven to be more damaging to our kids than being behavior modifiers and having shame about sexuality used to be.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you on this one, because I think we esteemed, again, back in the day when I was younger, we esteemed virginity as you have to do that, and if you were a virgin when you got married, you lived a virtuous life. But you could have been the complete jerk to everybody else and not had any other great qualities about yourself. We jump from you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and now you must be a virgin before you get married, and if you do that, you've done great. But there's so much in between there that we miss out on. And I love how you said that this is an incredible opportunity now for student ministers to be ministering to people. And I feel like if we go from you've now accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you must be a virgin, and forget everything else, the matters of the heart, I feel like, then we blow a huge opportunity to spend with students.
Yeah, and I think the thing that gets me at least most excited about student ministry is that recognition. Like, I think once you can get your head around, we fully have lost the culture war, we fully have lost the sexuality war, we've fully lost the behavior modification war. Like you got to go to counseling and do the right grieving process, but once you like take the red pill and see students for who they really are and what their worldview really is.
Yeah.
Then I think all of a sudden we have the opportunity to present a gospel that actually matters to kids,
mm-hmm.
instead of just being the fun police that you can't have sex. Like, no, Jesus actually offers life change and transformation and healing, but we have to do that grieving. And so I just use the virginity as a hook to get to that more deeper issue, because I hope that you don't hear we need to go back teaching our kids to be virgins. I would love that to be the case, but it's like the calculus illustration. Our kids don't even know addition. So
I would love
for them to know calculus, but since they don't, we're idiots if we keep cramming calculus down their throats.
Yeah, I agree. I completely understood the hook of the virginity thing, but it is a complete – it's a great illustration of that we forget so much in between. And honestly, I feel like, and again, in student ministry, this is my own thoughts here, that we focus so much on the program, so much on the fun aspects, so much on that it's got to be this great event, that we forget the basics of it's all about relationships. And the more that we can spend time one-on-one with students, the more that we can spend time in small groups with them, and we're getting to know who they are and help them process what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to develop spiritual disciplines, then we get to the bigger issues here. But we've forgotten what it means to spend time with students and really invest in those. And that's where real life transformation happens anyways, I feel like.
Tom, you sound like an old man. That's such like, only us old Gen X youth workers are even talking relational youth ministry anymore.
Yes.
All my precious millennial youth worker friends all want to do compelling youth services with face melting guitar solos and emotional, you know, presence of God ministry, and missing it, man. They're missing it. Old school, going to pizza with kids, loving them, walking through their heartbreak of life and parents and boyfriends and girlfriends, and being present so that you can share the gospel in word and deed in their daily life. Old school, baby.
Yeah. No, I'm
through and through.
The TC talk, yes. Let's do that. But no, I really agree with you on this one. You and I are, again, because we're Gen Xers, but the reality is I have a family. Actually, it's a husband and wife combo. They're a little bit older than I am. I think they're in their 50s right now. They run a home group as part of our student ministry, and their home group gets 50 to 70 kids each and every week to their home. Why? It's because these kids know that these guys care about them, and they've built relationships with them over time. It's not because they do something really fun and they have this amazing fog machine and, like you said, guitar solos and stuff. They have a corny day. They have food. They have some fun together. They play these silly games, and then they talk about Jesus. And they get a ton of kids that come out to them, and it's all about the relationships. So, I don't know, man. I think we just got to get back to the heart of the matter here and just focus on those relationships, focus on spending time with people, and then you continue to invest in them. Then they're going to learn what it means to be a true follower of Christ and not just be doing things just because they feel like I have to do this if this is what it means to follow Jesus.
Well, and I think if we did, if there was a renewed investment in relational ministry and you actually knew the students that were sitting in your youth service, you would know that you're talking about things that don't matter to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're giving them expectations that don't matter to them or that they could never reach. But when you actually spend time with them and listen to them and pick their brain, you're going to realize what sort of rudimentary math skills you have to bring to the game and save your, calculus talk for your staff meeting.
Yeah. No, I agree completely with you, and I hope this is a good encouragement for anybody who's listening, who's doing student ministry. Well, hey, Ben, as we kind of wrap up here, just answer me this question: are you going to be blogging more now that you're on this sabbatical?
I'm hoping to. I'm hoping to write once a week on my average youth ministry pace. But I'm also going to be journaling my sabbatical experience on BenjaminKearns.online.
Nice.
And I have a couple thoughts about Kavanaugh and Trump and our political moment that we're in. And I'm debating how much of my personal capital I want to expend on that. But that might be on my BenjaminKearns.online post.
Yeah. So if you want student ministry content, you're going to averageyouthministry.com. But if you want some more of Ben's thoughts on some of the hot topic issues that are going on, then go to BenjaminKearns.online. That would be fantastic.
That's right. Virginity, Trump, all sorts of good stuff. Metallica, let it rip.
Wait, did you just say Metallica? That's awesome. Yes, Metallica. Enter Sandman. You should have that as your walkout music the next time you do a sermon at your church, the Enter Sandman music.
I'll see what I can do. So,
Ben, as always, it's great talking to you. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Tom. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
I bring Ben Kearns back on all the time is one, because he's got great content. He always makes me think and is challenging to me. But two is we are very similar to each other, if you can't tell. I mean, we're roughly the same age, I think only a few months apart. And so we grew up in the same culture. We started doing ministry in the same time frame, and we think very similarly. And it's great to talk about how when you really get to the heart of the matter, it's all about relationships in student ministry and online ministry and kids ministry. It's about relationships. Again, you can have the fanciest shows, you can do the coolest events, but if you're not invested in relationships, there's not going to be as much of an impact as you could have in people. And so I want to encourage you, as you think about the ministry that you're doing and where you're at, hey, how are you doing with relationships? What are you doing to minister to those people closest to you? How are you making disciples? You know, not even just the disciples of students or the people you're ministering to, but to your leaders and your volunteer leaders. How are you investing in them? How are you spending time in relationships? If you want them to get to X, Y, and Z and be that great leader that they can be, or that great follower of Christ that you can be, you can't jump over all these steps. You have to spend time with them. You have to be with them. You have to invest in them. So what are you doing relationally, and how are you doing that? I would love to hear your thoughts on this. So let's take this conversation from here to online and just start talking about it. Definitely hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. You can hit up Ben Kearns as well. We would love to continue talking about this kind of stuff with you as we kind of process that. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, I've got fresh ones coming out every Wednesday. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to it, or you can go to ymsidekick.com, get my blogs and vlogs, the ebook on Twitter, and the ministry advantages it has. But you can also get the podcast there, and you can subscribe to it there on Google Play as well. So definitely go to ymsidekick.com and check out that content. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one. All right, so there you have it. And she had a great drink there. I wish you could see the drink that she actually had. I was able to actually see the drink. It looked really cool. And I am actually going to order that down the road when I go to the Starbucks my next time. But I hope you enjoyed that conversation, and I hope it gave you a little bit more assurance that you're not alone if you've ever felt like, hey, I just don't want to go. Because, again, I've been doing this for over 2 decades now, and there are times I just don't want to show up. And it's not just a student ministry thing. This is any kind of ministry, whether you're a campus pastor, a family minister, an online minister. Sometimes you just don't want to show up. And I'm not so convinced that it's not a spiritual attack, that Satan just doesn't want you doing it because he knows that something great is going to happen when you do that. So just fight through it. Talk to someone. I always like to talk to a friend of mine when I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go. And they're able to just be a nice sounding board for me. So definitely talk about it and definitely fight through it, because great things happen when we show up. And I really believe that. So those are my thoughts, and those are Crystal's thoughts, but I would love to hear your thoughts. What are your thoughts on this, and how do you fight through not wanting to go, and how do you fight through almost that kind of embarrassment about not wanting to go and end up going? How do you do it? Share it with me. I would love for us to carry this conversation online. You can hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. I would love to talk to you more about this online. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. As always, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it, this podcast, or you can go to ymsidekick.com, and there you can check out my blog, the vlog, the podcast, and some other resources I have on there, including my Twitter ebook on what the value and the importance of Twitter for your ministry. So I would love for you to check that out as well, all at ymsidekick.com. All right, here is why I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week, and until next time, have a great one.